Good morning. Thank you for being here on Friday, the end of the conference, and thank you for being here in the kind of brisk room. I admit that was a little surprising to me. I didn't bring any extra coats, unfortunately, but thank you for being here. I'll just give a quick overview of the agenda. We have some new announcements that we've made at this Ignite that have changed some of the positioning in terms of compliance in the cloud in a positive way. We're continuing to invest. Every month we're releasing small things. In some cases we're releasing very large things. And I'll also talk a little bit about what you can expect in terms of the next set of roadmap things we will forecast in the spring timeframe at Enterprise Connect. We can talk a bit about the principles that we use in Skype for Business Online. They match very closely with Office 365. We are part of Office 365. Then we'll talk about the cloud offerings we have. We have some differences in offerings that are targeted at making sure that special markets, whether they're regional or whether they're US government or healthcare or financial services, have some extra differences in the cloud that they can take advantage of. And then finally, we'll talk about some of the ways you can make good decisions about whether to go pure online or online plus on-prem and do hybrid. Okay, so a little bit about me, and my LinkedIn is at the bottom. Feel free to reach out to me and connect up. I'm always open to questions. We can certainly have side conversations after the session today, and we'll have lots of time for Q&A, but if you want to follow up later, that's a great place. Or if you're already on Skype for Business and have a federation with Microsoft, I am danstr@microsoft.com, and you can Skype me. So currently, I'm the Group Product Manager of Trust at Microsoft, which means I own a product portfolio of both enterprise cloud and trust features. These are the typical security and compliance features that you might already be familiar with as part of the Protection Center. There are also things like authentication. There are also things like making sure that we're getting accredited, that we have attestations. So it goes fairly wide, and it also covers some other features like making sure that availability, reliability, and some of the other deep enterprise features that tend to go with growing the cloud are in place. Past roles, it seems like the titles just get longer and longer. I'm glad it's gotten shorter for a little bit. I've mostly been in engineering roles historically, principal service engineering manager for online. In this role, I also had the security incident team and the teams that were demonstrating controls for compliance in our cloud. I was one of the early cloud architects for our earliest enterprise service. Some of you may remember BPAWS dedicated. And beyond that, going way, way back in time, Microsoft IT and MSN. Okay. So some things that are new for Ignite, things that we've announced this week. Just recapping some of these. Some of these have been already mentioned at other sessions. The big, big one for the cloud is custom policies. So in case you didn't see that, I'll just give a couple quick slides on that. This effectively gives you near parity with on-prem in terms of customization of policies. So if you're achieving compliance on-prem today with Link 2010, 2013, Skype for Business Server, and using our custom policies to do that, we think that you can get that same level of control and configuration in the cloud now. We also announced multi-region conferencing. This is really useful for our multinational customers that have users all over the world. In some cases, they need performance in region or maybe even in country. Microsoft now has massively scaled, hyperscaled data centers around the world for Office 365. And we're actually giving tenant admins the choice in Skype for Business Online to, on a per user basis, declare where they want that user to organize their meetings. So we can actually get you to servers in region, in some cases in the same time zone. That's available this calendar year. It's in preview now. Yeah. In fact, all of these are in preview now and available this calendar year. And then finally, the Protection Center has had a couple small enhancements that are in preview. You won't see them if you are not in preview today, but you'll see them this calendar year, where you can independently set Skype for Business for retention, and if you have E5, the advanced e-discovery, without having Exchange be set. So one of the ways this shows up is some of our customers say, today I have a policy, or in some cases a regulation, where I must retain email, but I don't have it for Skype, therefore I don't want to retain for Skype. And historically, both went together. So that was creating extra artifacts, extra risk, extra cost for customers. And those can now be set independently with this new announcement this calendar year. So you'll see a quick slide on that as well. And let's go through those very quickly. Okay, so custom policies. In the service today, we've had a pretty limited set of templates. In many cases, it created limited flexibility for your compliance positions if you needed the types of policies that you've had on-premise. And now we have extremely high overlap with on-premise, and you'll see that in a moment. So just showing an example of this, this is just one set of policies that can be configured. This is the conference policy. This is effectively what you would also see on-premise. Now this gives you that fine-grained control in the cloud. We have things to reduce potentially data loss in the cloud, things like being able to disable file transfer, whether it's peer-to-peer or in meetings. And you can get really, really specific about the behaviors now. Things like even disabling annotations in meetings, for example. So lots of control compared to what we had. Completely worth exploring. If you're not in preview yet, definitely hop in preview and check it out. And if you're not in the cloud yet, this will be here in a couple months anyway. Okay. And then coming back up a level, we have the conference policies, client policies, external access policies. These are all configurable at both the tenant and at the user level. So if you have groups of users that need to behave differently, that's completely fine. And then some of the policies around voice and PSTN conferencing specifically are really attached to location. So the idea of having policies primarily for routing, but in some cases for achieving compliance goals at the location. So that's custom policies, and we have a session on that recorded if you want more info. Regionally hosted meetings. So this is showing up this calendar year. It's already in preview. This is administrator controlled, and again, it allows administrators to choose whether organizers host meetings. So now you can declare if you want a meeting hosted in APAC, EMEA. We'll even, North America, of course, we'll get this down to all of the countries that we have Skype for Business in for our Go Locals. So that includes things like Canada, India, Japan, Australia. It will include UK as well. And every other location that we're declaring commercial multi-tenant support for. There's a couple exceptions to that. There's a service run by 21 ViaNet, which is a offering for China. And there's a service run by T-Systems that we've announced that will be going live in Germany. And these are completely separate cloud offerings, so they don't work with the this feature in the commercial cloud if your tenant's in the commercial cloud. But it doesn't mean you can't have users in Germany or China. You certainly can. They certainly can take advantage of this. Okay. Now this is mostly about performance, but you can imagine as we get ready for spring and future announcements, this gives us a new powerful substrate to look at advanced data commitments for you like offering the ability to ensure your data for meetings stays in the country that the tenant admin picks, as long as we have data centers there. So look forward to seeing that evolve more. Today it's about performance, and as we enter the next calendar year, we think we can wrap this with data commitments as well. Okay, so here's the Protection Center enhancements. On the left is the old experience, and on the right is the experience we demonstrated at Ignite this week. This is the thing that was causing problems historically. You certainly could enable Skype for Business for retention. However, you couldn't do it separately from Exchange. And now these are independent choices in the new Protection Center experience, which is in preview and rolling out to all tenants for the rest of the calendar year. Okay. There's a couple other announcements. We also are shipping Modern Auth for Tenant Admin PowerShell. So Skype for Business Online PowerShell will now support multi-factor auth. That's shipping this calendar year. So that could be Smart Card or PIN Auth or whatever you have. It works the same way as Modern Auth does for the rest of our clients. And we also have an announcement for our U.S. Government Community Cloud customers. Some of our U.S. Government Community Cloud customers want specific configuration notes to enforce CONUS-only login, which is contiguous U.S. IP logon. And that's typically a federal requirement for some of these tenants. And we now have configuration notes for the field to pass along to our customers that are in that cloud. And they can achieve CONUS if that is a requirement for them. So a little bit about Modern Auth. How many people know about Modern Auth already in the cloud? Okay, good. So maybe a little over half the room. That's fantastic. All of the 2013 and above Office clients for Skype are Modern Auth aware. For 2013 Pro Plus, a registry key is required to turn it on. But as soon as you get past 2013, it's enabled by default. This means iOS, Windows, Android, they all support Modern Auth. We're in the process of completing our certificate-based auth support on top of Modern Auth for online, and this is for online specifically. This is an example where we're adding cloud value at a faster pace than the older on-prem approach. And I think we've already announced support for the Android client that may already be in market with certificate-based auth. It's already there for desktop as well. And iOS will also support certificate-based auth in the cloud this calendar year. We weren't quite able to announce that as released for this conference. Okay, so what's next for cloud? As we look forward to Enterprise Connect, which is our next major conference, you can expect us to roadmap the following things for you. We want to expand support for Modern Auth to hybrid and on-prem customers, especially customers that are in split domain, where you have a Skype or Link deployment on-premise working with the cloud. We've announced at this conference and in previous press, refreshed APIs for Skype for Business Online that partners can develop on or customers can develop on. And now that these have been in market for some time, we think that our compliance partners will begin making announcements in spring. If you are a compliance partner and you haven't started working with us, please get in touch with me, and we can make sure that you're giving us the feedback that we need to make you successful. And then finally, there's a ton of new features and value in both the Protection Center and in the E5 SKU. And we want to be able to roadmap for you how that looks for Skype for Business as we close out the next 6 months. Okay, so a little bit about the principles. I'll share a few slides here. And this is really about making sure that you know what our cloud is capable of and how we behave, how we invest, how we're accountable to you, how we do continual compliance. And so you can make the best choice in terms of choosing cloud or on-prem with cloud. Maybe before I leave this slide, I'll just state one of the things that sometimes comes up with conversations I have. And they're always a little bit surprising to me, because inside of the Redmond Microsoft bubble, when I'm working with the engineering teams, and it can be a bit of a bubble, it's nice to get out and get perspective. One of the things that we take for granted, I think, sometimes is our Link enterprise history. You know, the Skype for Business Online service really is the extension and evolution of Link Online for enterprises, right? It hasn't changed. It hasn't become more consumer-focused. It's not like we're not a part of Office because we have the Skype branding. In fact, the only thing we've done is change the branding. Otherwise, it's exactly the same set of compliance controls. It's the same set of code. We've certainly released a new version, but we haven't weakened our position or drifted away from Office in terms of our principles. We are still part of Office 365. When you see compliance and security statements for Office 365, those are exactly what we live. So yes, we have the Skype brand, but this is still the Link Online product with the same enterprise controls delivered in the cloud as part of Office 365. It sometimes makes conversations harder for me that we use the Skype name, but it is still a separate product line. Some of the user-facing experiences now look more similar, and that's a huge advantage because customers and users that are familiar with Skype tend to use the voice and video features a little bit more now that we've put the Skype name on it. But there's core principles for our cloud. Certainly security, compliance, privacy. We're mostly talking about compliance today, but we can talk about all three. Q&A can cover all three. You know, one of the first promises about the Microsoft cloud is that it is your data. We don't view us as a cloud operator that uses your data to mine it for doing things like marketing to other folks or, you know, what we really want is to be your data custodian. If you have customer-created content, we want to build our components and our controls to prevent our administrators from being able to see your data. That's how seriously we take it. And when you look at the components that we're building, that we've built perhaps in the last year, that we're building in the future, they're actually typically designed so there's no way our administrators can actually see the data that flows through them, which is a big change from how we started our cloud. We started our cloud with essentially taking the on-premise product, taking it up to the cloud, and wrapping it with lots of code. And that still meant that while we have screened administrators that live controls, demonstrate controls, in some cases, you know, they could actually get to your data. Now we have policy where that's not allowed, but that's very different than redesigning the entire service fabric. So in the future, you can do things like bring your own key, and even today, if you're flowing through our newer components, for example, the components that support Skype broadcast meetings, our administrators don't actually have any access, as well as our developers. Okay, so I think most of the other things here you've seen, and we can demonstrate a little bit of this. Of course, our commitment to you is at every layer, from the facility to the personnel all the way up. That data layer is an example where we're rebuilding all of our components to abstract even further the relationship between our admins and your data. We'll show a little bit about best-in-class cryptography. I think most of you know this, but again, this is sometimes something I take for granted when I get out to events like this. And I don't think it's this room so much, but some folks will say to me things like, well, doesn't Skype for Business Online have a backdoor for the government? And no, of course not, right? We're completely transparent about it. Where we operate, we do have to comply with the legal regulations. However, Where possible, we resist that. We're transparent about it. And it's no different than the rest of Office 365 for Skype for Business. Okay, so let's demonstrate this. This is actually something I'm proud of. You know, even in 2014, post-Snowden, we made announcements from Brad Smith, our general counsel at Microsoft, that we were going to use best-in-class encryption across all of our cloud services, and we did. So for a number of years, inside of Skype for Business Online, we've actually updated our standards. We've dropped the old protocols, and now if you test us through independent third parties like Qolsys, you'll actually see this A rating. And let's just give that a shot. Let's see if we can do that live. Okay. This shouldn't take too long, maybe 60 seconds or so. Might take a little longer since it's testing both IPv4 and v6. But if you're not familiar with this page, this is a great site to test competitors, test your cloud, and really get into the details if you have engineers in your team that want to know exactly the specifics about what our certificates look like, what our protocol handshakes look like. You'll see all of that here. And you can do this for our other service endpoints, things like our WebDir for online.link.com, our SIPFED, our Federation Service Entrance for online.link.com. And while most of the competitors have caught up, so they're at least not, you know, below a C rating, you might be surprised what's out there. So if you're using a competitor product or if you're evaluating, certainly if they're not yet at an A rating, they should be. There's no reason they shouldn't be. So definitely push them to get there. We want to make the cloud, whether it's our service or our competitors, really, really strong against government snooping everywhere. That's an important industry principle that's even bigger than Microsoft. Okay. I'll load up a second site just in case one of the others has been tried recently. That may save us a little time. Oh, there we go. Okay, so here you can drill into the specifics. You can see the certificate details. You can see that we've disabled legacy protocols. You can see that we're negotiating 1.2 first. And then you can see the strengths of the Cypher suites, et cetera. So this goes on and on and on. And even for recent vulnerabilities, things like Drown, Poodle, you'll see the status of those as well. So again, this is something we're very proud of. We're not just saying we do best-in-class encryption. We really are living it, and you certainly can validate that yourselves. Okay. We talked about this. Again, I think this room is very comfortable with this message. Outside of this room, sometimes we get these questions. Okay, so we talked about multi-regional meetings or regionally hosted meetings. I'll actually show you for Office how you can find out exactly where our data centers are and where your data is. In the online service terms, you see statements about our data commitments. And if you look at your tenant admin portal, you can see where your tenant is hosted. And as you add some of the new capabilities like regionally hosted meetings, you can use PowerShell this calendar year and later the portal in the next calendar year to see where your users' meetings are hosted if you've chosen to make that in more than one region. So let's take a look at this. Okay, so let's say you have tenants in Europe. We could take a look at our EMEA deployments, and you'll see we're transparent about which data centers we operate in and which services are in which data centers. So in this case, Ireland and the Netherlands for Skype for Business. So again, for Office 365, we want to be transparent and make it easy for you to demonstrate to anyone you need to demonstrate to where the data is located and how we operate. Now, if you haven't checked out the Office 365 Trust Center, this is the single best place to find all of our detailed FAQs, our attestations, how we use our control frameworks, how those map to the certifications and attestations that we have. And there's a number of easy videos to sort of bootstrap into this space if you have new people to the compliance world. And we help reshare our principles, but also take it all the way down into the nitty-gritty. Like, let's say you have a need for a HIPAA BAA. We can tell you how to get started with that. And this is the one single place where we try to put all of the information. I mean, Microsoft's web assets are so huge across TechNet and Microsoft.com and Office. It can be a little hard to find things, but this is intended to be your one-stop shop, despite having some information in other places. Okay, in terms of our offerings, there's our primary offering, which is our commercial multi-tenant offering. This now has been enhanced with what we call the Go Local program, where we're giving you many more choices of where your tenants can be hosted. For example, UK, Australia, India, Japan. That's allowed many more customers to come to the cloud with data commitments that we previously weren't able to give in country. And then we also have a couple specialized services. Of course, we have the China service we've announced and are building and are in preview for the German national offering and run by T-Systems. And we also have a couple special offerings for US government customers. So our standard government cloud is the government community cloud. And I have a slide on that where you can sign up for a free trial. But we also have a couple things we're doing for our most difficult or our most complex federal customers. So we have customers that have some requirements that are higher than our FedRAMP moderate and CJIS requirements that we use for government community cloud. And for those customers, you can talk to account teams and explore the ITAR offering, which is intended both for federal customers with very complex requirements and also for the defense industry that works with them. So some of the customers in aerospace, for example, or in defense may also be ITAR regulated, and these are the types of customers that might end up in ITAR. It's also the place where we will host defense customers when they feel that our cloud is a good place for them. Okay, so just a sample of some of the compliance certifications and attestations that we have. It's quite wide, and actually it's growing every month. Typically we add a few each quarter, and the way we're able to do that is through our deep continued investing in both things like our Go Local projects to spin up data centers in additional countries around the world. But also, we now have more than 900 controls under the NIST 800 framework, and we map these to new certifications. So when a new certification comes out, typically we're not having to build additional controls. Typically it's a mapping exercise into those 900 existing controls, and there might be one or two controls that we need to add to the framework, but then it becomes fairly easy to add these certifications, and in some cases to get new attestations. There's certainly ongoing work to continually demonstrate these controls. You can imagine with this many different compliance programs that all typically have high intersection on controls, we're continually demonstrating across workloads that we're hitting these controls. Some of these programs only require yearly demonstration, but when you intersect these all together, we're actually demonstrating every single month. And there's no point in us building systems where we're solving this with high-touch people demonstration of controls We're now wrapping this with code, and because we've wrapped it with code, we can display these in an automated way every single month. And that's part of how we scale and reduce our costs, and that's the advantage of having a very, very large service like Office in the Cloud. It's something we can do. It's something that in some cases we think competitors, even if they want to do, will have a harder time from a cost perspective doing. And maybe I should add that one of our principles, I didn't mention this earlier, but one of the things that's really important to understand, and I also get this question outside of Redmond sometimes, is, hey, what's the kind of strategy for Skype for Business Online? Are you going to be more consumer-focused in the future? It's kind of a variant of that other question. And the answer is no. We believe that Office 365 and Skype for Business is a place where we actually differentiate for the most complex and demanding enterprise customers, right? We expect folks like Google and Cisco to compete with us for the very easy customers in terms of compliance. Where we think we continue to have an advantage is where we invest deeply in security and trust and compliance and complexity of user experiences and control of user experiences. And so for that reason, that's only going to increase, right? We're not trying to race to the bottom on costs. We're trying to actually differentiate around giving more control and flexibility to administrators. So that's something that you'll continue to see us do. Okay. I may need the mouse. I think the remote's failing a bit. But we can keep it going. If you don't have a test tenant or trial tenant in the cloud, this is a great time to get one. We have actually E5 free trials at this point, which include the PSTN features of Skype, as well as the advanced e-discovery features that work with Skype retention, as well as the other security features that have jumped way, way out ahead for things like Exchange and SharePoint, OneDrive for Business. So just a quick plug for E5 trial. For US Gov, the GCC offering has the following accreditations. It's essentially a subset of what you saw previously. We also have a US government trial. This trial operates a little bit differently. You need to submit a bit of information, and then we work through our government team to connect up with your tenant and deliver the trial to you. And then finally, before we get to Q&A, which is where I'd like to spend lots of time, I want to talk a little bit about the decision-making for online versus hybrid. In general, we think that if you're succeeding with your compliance requirements on-premise with Link 2010, 2013, or Skype for Business Server, that you can move to the cloud and keep the same compliance posture. That'll be an intersection of the accreditations and attestations we have, along with the configuration you choose to use in our cloud to demonstrate that your users are also having the right security posture or compliance posture that you need them to have. Where we think there's some hybrid scenarios are the following. Of course, there's the obvious ones, like you may be starting from an on-premise deployment and be moving to the cloud. But if you've never deployed Skype for Business, there might still be a few reasons why you choose to leave some of your users on-premise or some of your infrastructure on-premise. One of these examples might be if you have a voice recording requirement. You might have folks that operate with customers. They're making calls through Skype for Business or receiving calls through Skype for Business, or maybe they're doctors operating with patients. There may be a requirement to record audio. In that case, you could use Cloud PBX to host the user in the cloud, route those calls through an on-premise SIP trunk, so that's kind of the bring-your-own SIP trunk model, or have an IP PBX on-premise that interoperates with our cloud. And at that point, you can use one of our partner solutions, or even a solution that's not designed for Skype for Business, because at that point, it's just IP voice on-premise to record the calls. So that's one hybrid scenario that might show up if you have a call recording requirement. Another is if you have deeply regulated seats and data loss protection for you is not about doing things like turning off peer-to-peer file transfer, and instead it's deep message scanning and blocking of specific types of strings, things like maybe credit cards or other specific HR policies that you need implemented right inside of the instant messaging flows. That's a place where you might use an on-premise partner like Actiance or some of the other partners that are showing up that do this. Trend Micro, I know, is another partner that has a solution. And there's many more, but this often shows up in financial services for a fraction of their seats. So maybe 20% of your customers' seats have deep, deep, deep requirements that are going to keep them on-premise. And that's certainly something we're fine with. We've designed our cloud to expect some of our customers are going to be in a hybrid state for a very long time. And again, we're only deepening our investments to make transitioning either from the cloud back to on-premise or from on-premise to the cloud easier. And you'll see that more and more. Other scenarios that might keep you on-premise for a portion of the users might be things like if you have special federation requirements where some of your users are allowed to use federation, but some of your users have non-binary restrictions on federation. What I mean by that is it's not as simple as some users use federation, some don't, but maybe there's some users that can only talk to a subset of your federations. That's something where we have on-premise partners giving extra control. Okay, hopefully I didn't make that too complex. We can talk about that more in Q&A. Yes? Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, so I'll break the question down in a couple different parts and I'll repeat it for the recording. You know, whether it's Europe or US or APAC financial institutions, certainly the financial services industry has a long tail of features that are important to bring every single one of their seats to the cloud. What we think we have for Exchange, SharePoint, and what we think is emerging for Skype for Business is the sort of core set of features where you don't have every single user regulated for recording of media. If that changes and where it changes, that's part of the roadmap we intend to share in spring. We're certainly aware of that requirement. We certainly don't want to miss out on financial services. We certainly are already doing additional things for financial service customers to demonstrate our audits to them, to demonstrate that they have additional controls that they need. But there are some that are really critical that are missing. And you've touched on one of them, which is recording of all media, especially meetings, for a segment of seats and potentially where regulations change, potentially for an entire tenant, that may be a requirement. So we'll certainly do that in the cloud in the fullness of time. The today story is for those seats, use on-prem, and then use hybrid, where you have a portion of users that can get cloud value. And even if all of the users are on-premise, you might still use hybrid to have things like broadcast meeting, right? So there's still going to be some cases where you can get cloud value just by connecting hybrid to your on-premise environment. Okay. When we talk about hybrid, we can be a little bit precise with terms which sometimes help the conversation. Hybrid is such a big overloaded term in our cloud that sometimes we can think we're having one conversation when you actually want to have a different conversation with us. So I typically break it down into three categories for Skype for Business Online. There's hybrid split domain, which truly means you have some Skype or Link users on premise, and some in the cloud, and it's the same SIP domain and they're connected. That's typically what we hear. That's typically what I think of when I hear hybrid, but there's a couple other hybrid cases that aren't that, that are worth mentioning just so we can be really specific in Q&A. And cloud connectivity is one where you have our service is your cloud PBX. Maybe you have 100% of the users in the cloud, but some of the PSTN infrastructure is still on-premise, right? So like an IP PBX or a SIP trunk, and that's connected into our cloud. That's cloud connectivity. And then finally, there's the permutations that come with Exchange. Exchange can also be in hybrid, right? And our clients also connect to EWS. So that kind of increases the matrix of things that happen. And this is part of the reason why we're still working on finishing things like Modern Auth for customers that are in hybrid. We actually have a fairly complex matrix of where we might have one type of auth versus another because of Exchange, because of on-prem, because of cloud. Okay, so a couple plugs, and then we'll get right to Q&A. There's a Inside the Cloud series for security and compliance. This is Rajesh Jha. Some of you may have heard that Gurdeep will have a new role, and Rajesh Jha is taking over. He's had a long, long, long leadership position in Office 365, and we will also now be reporting into Rajesh as part of the Gurdeep change. We have a number of videos here. They tend to be more basic intro videos, but again, great videos for the principles that we use and operate with, which can be helpful if you're not directly responsible for compliance and want to help the compliance people in your organization understand what our principles are. That must be a long URL. That's a very rich QR code. Fast Track. This is a great resource for customers coming to the cloud. They'll help you get into the cloud. They'll help answer some of the security and compliance and configuration questions. And where their knowledge ends, they can help get you experts that otherwise may have been harder to get. So definitely consider using Fast Track. And then we have the Skype for Business community. This is another great place to ask questions, especially if you're a very small tenant and maybe you don't have a premier contract or an SDM. This is a great way to interact and help get questions answered. And with that, I'd like to take your questions. And the mics are hot. Certainly feel free to come on up to the mics. That'll make it better for the recording. But if you're happy where you are, I'll repeat the questions.
I'll go for one straight away. You mentioned about being able to split the conversation history stuff from retention in Exchange and Skype.
Uh-huh.
Does that also stop the tenant from turning off conversation history?
Does that also stop the tenant from
the client, the user,
right,
from turning off conversation
history? It does not. The end user, if they're on an unmanaged device, can still disable conversation history. But here's why it's probably okay for you. It depends on what your retention strategy is. But what you certainly can do, independent of conversation history, which actually doesn't have anything to do with the retention policy directly, it's a separate thing. It's really a feature. So the conversation history feature that you see in Outlook, it's really a feature that's there to help a couple of things. It's a feature to persist a conversation when you move to between a mobile client and a desktop client. So the mobile client can connect to EWS and find a conversation that was happening on desktop. So that's a little fit and finish thing that we did, which is why actually mobile's kind of painful if you turn it off. And then of course it's a thing where users can search their Outlook inbox for conversations they've had previously. But in terms of retention is a deeper feature that happens on the back end. So whether that feature is on or off, if you enable retention for Skype for Business Online, we're collecting the messages and we're inserting them into the Protection Center archive, independent of the conversation history feature.
So it's independent of the conversation
history? Completely independent, yep.
Because it didn't used to be that way, or as far as I know, it used to be we had to retain conversation history to keep it retained within Exchange.
I mean, the one scenario where that comes up is if you're not using Skype for Business retention, some people were using conversation history to just capture it on the Exchange side. So maybe you've had an on-premise deployment. But as long as we've been in the cloud, when you turned on retention, it's been independent of the conversation history feature. So we're definitely capturing it. There's no way the users escape it.
Perfect. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. Yes?
Following up on what the gentleman just asked, your suggestion was to either keep the people on-premise or wait until spring for new announcements from Microsoft.
Yeah.
But if you want to do something today with Skype Online, are you aware of any vendors or partners that are providing that functionality today?
That functionality being like media recording or...
Yeah, online, for Skype Online.
There are not. So the short answer is there are none. And the reason why is we've just released our APIs that allow the partners to build on top of our cloud platform. So they need a little bit of time, and then I think you'll start to see solutions show up. If you have a decision today, the decision would be on-premise, either for those users, or if it's the entire company that needs it, then on-premise for the entire company. Yeah. Yeah. Yes? It must be really cold for you.
I'm freezing. you're mentioning containment for federation. Is it something that's on a roadmap for Skype Online? Because for us, that's one of the main reasons we have to stay on-premise is because we contain our executive as well as we block file transfer to federated partners.
I see. So if you're willing to live without file transfer in Skype for Business all up, then that part's solved. If you just want to have file transfer blocked for federation, we don't give that specific control in online, but you certainly can disable it for the entire tenant. And that's most users seem to be okay with that because we have things like SharePoint, OneDrive, and it works pretty well through those mechanisms even with Skype for Business, even in meetings. The other part of your question, I don't think I heard correctly. And apologies for having you repeat it.
No, it's okay. Around containment, so for Federation, we have some users that we have a third-party tool that allow us to control who can talk to our executive, or if the executive can talk to them, and vice versa.
Yep, okay, good. So, so sort of an ethical wall scenario, whether it's internal to the company or between Skype for Business deployments.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is an area we know we must do in the cloud. And today, that control is only achievable by having an on-premise deployment be the anchor for the federation. And in some cases, it may still work with your users in the cloud, but you would need an on-premise deployment where federation is pointed to and potentially a third party to drive the ethical walls. So if it's just about federation, you may be able to still put your users in the cloud, have an on-premise deployment, point your federations at the on-premise deployment, and implement the partner control on top of the on-premise federation. If you need ethical walls for users that are using Skype for Business in a single company, within the company, then that's a on-premise deployment. And maybe you have hybrid to get some different cloud value, but certainly for ethical walls, that's still an on-premise solution today. This is the type of thing we want to begin to roadmap in spring. I'm not able to announce any dates currently. But for sure, this is an area across all of Office 365, not just Skype, where we want to give you more value. For search, this is another one that shows up sometimes for search scenarios. Like I may be able to search for certain people in the address book, but not for others. Okay. Yes? Yeah, why not?
In regard of conversation. In regard of conversation history, is it in a roadmap or a feature that can happen so we could rewrite it outside of Outlook? So it's not captured by Outlook while we do backup.
Okay.
And searchable for e-discovery and so on.
Mm-hmm. Well, so is the goal to not capture any conversations anywhere? For Skype specifically.
Skype.
Okay, yeah. So maybe your situation or the customer situation that you're representing is they want zero additional risk or cost from having any Skype conversations be anywhere persisted.
Yes, because we don't allow conversation chat is in the same bucket as voice.
Right.
So we don't record voice.
Got it.
Cannot record chat.
Okay. So conversation history can be disabled, certainly on managed devices and with and now with custom policies with that just have been announced with in-band policies. However, the experience is really bad on mobile. So we have to do work there for this type of customer to make mobile sort of reasonable. And we have this in the backlog. We've done some work on it. We've taken such a big bet on this, we aren't able to just turn it around quickly because we've actually kind of built this dependency a little deeper than we want for your scenario, despite it being really handy in other places. I think the answer is if mobile is part of this, it's tough. Yeah, okay. So I think what I'll do is, because it's so cold, I'll wrap, and I'll thank you for being here, and then we can do Q&A at the stage or outside the room where it's a little bit warmer. So thank you for being here. Thank you for being here on Friday, and thank you for listening. Thank you.